From the independent producer project of KCRW and KCRW.com, I'm Bob Carlson, and this is Unfictional. Unfictional is a program of true stories and personal documentaries, and on this episode, the Spanish city of Barcelona. It's known for historic architecture, a world-class soccer team, beaches, great weather. Millions of tourists visit every year. But this city was also hit hard by the global financial crisis. Its homeless problem exploded. Thousands of people sleep on the streets every night. On this episode, we'll hear from a man who knows all about that kind of thing. And now he makes it his business to show the world what's really going on in Barcelona as an alternative tour guide. Producer Steve Urquhart goes along a journey that steers away from the tourist trails, through side streets and back alleys, to soup kitchens and hostels. And not only does Steve discover some of the city's hidden truths, but he also learns there's a lot to uncover about the tour guide himself. From KCRW.com, it's Unfictional and Barcelona, the view from the streets.
When you are on the street, you are judged, mistreated. And people, they don't know your background. And even myself, I never think that's going to happen in that way. But maybe we can do something about it.
Barcelona. It's Sunday morning, 8 o'clock. Most people are still asleep in bed, but many are sleeping on the streets. They're sheltering on church steps, benches, in doorways, sleeping bags, cardboard boxes, usually surrounded by blankets, old paper cups, and pigeons. As the sun rises, police vans arrive to move them along. And the problem is hidden away. Well, almost.
Hello.
Hello.
Hello, guys. I'm Ramon. I'm going to be your private guide.
About an hour later, a man stands next to the cathedral steps, smiling and holding up a sign. It says, Hidden City Tours. The man's name is Ramon. I'm just tagging along with today's tour. It's for a group of 14 young people from Iceland.
Okay, we are on the heart of Barcelona. Very awesome, Barcelona.
None of us has ever met Ramon, but it's like a reunion with an old friend or maybe a favorite uncle. He's so warm, so welcoming.
I will give you some advices, the things that you would like to visit, was important.
And he seems nothing like the official tour guides across the street with their uniforms and clipboards. Ramon is informal but smart, elegantly dressed in a stylish jacket and hat. He could pass for a movie star.
Oh, we have a nice music for us.
Although we start off outside the cathedral, it isn't long before Ramon lights up a cigarette and leads us away from the other tourists.
Okay, guys, and ladies and guys. Okay, we are in San Felipe Neri Square. This place is one of my favorite places for homeless people sleep at night time. Because it's quiet, there's no traffic. And if it rains, you can go under the arch and be covered, okay? That doesn't mean the police doesn't come in the morning kick you. Does, they do.
He tells us with great authority about shelters, social housing, and soup kitchens.
I have a lot of respect for this place, for different reasons. people, you can go in, no question asked. We don't care with nationality. We don't ask you if the social work sign to you here. Nothing asked. You go and eat. I've been here. I was here.
Ramon's eyes are everywhere. He's constantly watching us, asking us questions, reading our expressions, seeing which bits capture our imaginations. He makes this a very personal tour.
In this case, it's a beautiful group. I like it. I like it when people are interested because I can give what I want to give. Not just the typical touristic marketing. No, we don't go for that.
He's also keeping an eye out for any potential trouble.
Okay. One thing I have to say, I always say that to people come from the other countries. Happens in any big city. We have pickpockets in Barcelona too. Pickpockets, we have it. Also, when you go to the cafes and the cafeterias, you be careful. Somebody can come with a newspaper, put it in front of your eyes, before you know your mobile phone is gone, you or your wallet will be gone. So it's important that be careful.
Along the way, we meet street drinkers, sex workers, drug dealers. Ramon knows his clients want the tour to feel edgy. That's what we've signed up for.
It tells the real stories because it's very easy to take the tourist guides and you walk around in hundreds of tourists, and it's, well, it's nice to see those places, but the real story is the one behind everything, and there you get the good insights.
What do you think of Ramon as a guide?
I think he's fantastic. I think you got a pretty different perspective on things.
The other tools, I think you can just, you know, pick up a brochure and walk by yourself. He takes you on some streets you would never think of going by yourself.
Okay, ladies and guys, that's how we're gonna finish our tour. Okay, it was very pleased to meet you, and I hope you enjoyed and you have something to take back home. Huh? Not from Ramon, but from the tour. Anyway, it was a pleasure to meet you.
The morning's flown by.
Thank you very much.
We've learned a lot about Barcelona.
Yes.
Thank you.
And I'm about to learn a lot more about Ramon himself.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Enjoyed it?
Yes. Yes.
So where am I going to take you for lunch?
You want to go to a very inexpensive place.
It's up to you.
Of town, like regular people go and stuff.
Perfect.
After some wonderful pasta with chicken, Ramon and I go for a walk to one of his favourite parts of Barcelona, just by the Raval.
Where you can hear the guitar, you can hear, see those beautiful orange trees, a little fountains, the little birds you're going to drink there, and you can smell and feel the peace. And we are 2 blocks away from the crowd. People, they sleep on the streets, they take a little nap under those arcs over there. Nobody bothered them. It's a beautiful cafe over here. I think it's perfect, huh? It's perfect.
It's only after a few minutes that you begin to notice just how many people are sleeping rough here.
They can't sleep in the nighttime because police pass by and so they have to sleep in the daytime a few hours. And that's one of the places.
Is it safer to sleep during the day, would you say, then?
Over here, yes. Because people protect too, you know, they have some... if somebody want to hurt somebody, there will be somebody, they say, no, you can't do that.
Ramon knows what he's talking about. It's not long since he was sleeping on the streets. He tells me his story.
My name is Ramon. First, I'm a human being. And I born
in Castilla, Salamanca, 200 kilometers from Madrid. I born there, then I live in different cities because each time my father has promotion on his job, we change.
Ramon spent his childhood moving with his family around Europe and North Africa and then to Costa Rica, where he got a job in a nightclub.
I was 21. I was managing a discotheque. I was in the music and I love it because I was like a young guy with the girls and going out and, you know, yeah. And it's a beautiful country. It's the Switzerland of America. It's a wonderful country. You know, a beautiful nature too.
But this young guy soon got bored with Costa Rica's beautiful nature. Leaving his family there, Ramon worked his way up through Central America. He was looking for adventure and excitement, and he found it in the United States.
In New York, everything changed. I mean, there I was coming from San Salvador to the plane.
How old were you?
26. So I hit Washington, and then I went to New York. I remember it was nighttime when I see all those buildings light up in New York. It was fascinating. Yeah. My first ice cream, American ice cream in New Jersey. And then it was a sunny day, and it was so cold when I went outside.
He loved New York City. He worked in a restaurant, first as a busboy, until the day he fell out with one of his colleagues.
It was that guy who was bothering me a lot. And one day, I punched him against the coach. And Robert, the owner, he loves me. He likes me very much. He said, Ramon, you want to try the kitchen?
So he didn't punish you?
No.
His solution to that was, yes, you punched this guy, do you want to go and work in the kitchen?
Yes, he offered me, yes.
Did he want to just get you out of the front of house?
He was appreciating me very much because, you know, I was a hard worker and, you know.
He must have seen a talent in you, I suppose.
Yeah, probably.
You're good with your hands.
I don't know. But I become good with the knives. In the kitchen, I'm talking about that.
Yes.
Ramon's career took off. He worked his way up and became head chef at some exclusive restaurants. He catered for Johnny Carson, Jack Nicholson, Omar Sharif, Dustin Hoffman. But he didn't just work hard, he also played hard. This was the New York of the late 70s and the early 80s. Ramon was going out to clubs. Studio 54 was his favourite. He developed a late night, after work addiction to dancing and to cocaine. That didn't go down well at home, where he had a wife and a baby boy.
I was a very much a going out person. Veronica, she was very jealous. She was thinking that I'd go with other girls. It wasn't true. But I was working on restaurants. And in the life of people that we work on restaurants, it's very hard to keep a marriage.
As he moved into his 40s, Ramon struggled with his responsibilities towards Veronica and Raymond Anthony. He lost them both.
I love my son very, very much.
How old was he at the time then?
He was very, very young. He was 1 year old when we separated.
If he was ever going to regain access to his son, Ramon would need to get off the drugs. And so he tried. He made a clean break in Miami and started to get his life back on track. He returned to New York, where things were going well, until September the 11th, 2001. That morning, Ramon was working close to the World Trade Center. Just before 9 a.m., he stepped out of his kitchen.
When the Twin Towers went down, when that happens, and I was in a break, and I come down the street, and I saw people looking at the towers, and the smoke, and the helicopter can pick up the people, and I saw the tower coming down from my eyes. This is the New Yorkers. And see the people they look for their families, the ashes all over the city, see the panic and the face of people. And so, I mean, I was dreaming of that many times. Even now, when he comes every year and he starts to put on TV, I have to turn it off. Because it's like you come back to live that stuff again.
I guess when you saw it with your own eyes, you saw people falling from the towers and the second plane hit the tower. It must just really mess with your head.
You're right. It did it. I didn't know exactly to what extent. I realized later. I relapsed and things happened one after the other.
The relapse led Ramon to some dark places. Within a couple of years, he decided he couldn't stay in New York. So after more than three decades there, he returned to Spain. In March 2004, he prepared to board his flight to the Spanish capital. But as he waited, he was stunned by the news unfolding on the TV screens at JFK Airport. Terrorist attacks on Madrid's trains.
It was 2 years after the towers. And it was when I was in the airport, I saw the monitor, and I saw the president of Spain, and I don't know. When I got in Madrid, it was terrorist attack in Madrid the day before. I couldn't believe my eyes.
Not long after he'd returned, Ramon's brother and his father both passed away. This hit him hard, and his own health deteriorated. For 10 days, he was in a coma. He spent almost a year in hospital, suffering from depression. When he came out, he had nothing.
Where were you living at this time?
I was in the street.
Here in Barcelona?
Yeah.
Yeah.
On and off, probably about, I would say, 6-7 months, 1 year. And to tell you the truth, I didn't want to leave. First time of my life, I didn't want to leave.
But as time went on, Ramon realized he did want to live. After a year on the streets, his thoughts turned from suicide to survival. He was going to fight to change his life. He looked to his mother and her family for inspiration. As people from the Basque region of Spain, he believed in their strength of character.
My mother is Basque. My grandfather was in Basque country when the Civil War. My grandfather was in a concentration camp. And he died when he was 99. And his father was Henry III. So I know they are very strong people.
With the help of friends, charities, and a few odd jobs, eventually Ramon scraped his way off the streets and into shared basic accommodation. After a while, he'd saved enough money to live on his own, and then he heard about Hidden City tours. He called the boss, Lisa Grace, and she could tell straight away that he was going to fit in.
He's a charming man with a warm heart. He's funny. He's an interesting guy, you know, because he's older, so he's 66, he's lived a lot. I don't think I know probably even a quarter of Ramon's story.
Next to the cathedral, and we're going to go to one of my favourite.
Ramon is one of several previously homeless people working with Hidden City Tours. It's a social enterprise that trains them up and employs them as guides, so they get paid for each of the tours they lead. And that helps them to get back what they once had.
We have a guide, we have an architect, we have a professional translator of books. You know, these people who are university educated professionals who have just found themselves on the street due to the recent crisis. It's been a long, hard economic downturn, and many people, unexpected people, have found themselves in situations. This is a whole new image of, you know, not the the bearded, dirty, rag-clad man who's sleeping underneath a bridge. Okay, this is a very, very different profile. And some people say to me, are your guys really homeless? I'm not sure if I believe that. They just don't look, you know, look at the way they're dressed. I'm like, you don't have to look like that to be living on the streets.
So we're going over there with Nuria Monfort.
Today, Ramon is proud to be one of the company's star guides, showing off Barcelona's traditional sites and leading tourists into the grittier parts of town.
One of my favorite stops with a lot of history and a lot of contrast. And probably you love it.
He's also designed a special gastronomic tour around the city's tapas bars and food markets.
You're free to take pictures, too.
It's very good to be with Ramon. He show us the most beautiful place, the most products.
You like food?
Yes. Yeah,
and you like cooking?
Yes, it's very good.
It's just the beginning for him. And I mean, it's just how his human initiative. I think it's the beauty of this story.
So the initiative to actually literally drag yourself off the streets.
He was collapsed into, you know, the worst horror in your life. Family disappearing, everything. And out of the kind of human turmoil, he found his feet again. It's a story basically which I came from. So instead of having this famous tour on seeing all the buildings around, you know, I'm not enriched as a person by that, but this enriches me, seeing that human blossoms after a kind of a crisis in life. I think it warms my heart.
Almost every day of the year, Ramon and his fellow guides lead tourists around what they describe as the real Barcelona. But what about their old friends and associates, the thousands of people who still live on the streets? How do they react when they see Hidden City tours go past them?
They're happy for what I'm doing. Even some of them are proud, you know? But others, they are very much, very sick on drugs or whatever. I recognize them, they didn't recognize me, and, you know, I meet people regularly. They are institutionalized. They don't see they can go out and make their own thing. And they prefer to be on that line. Go to get some clothes here, go to eat here. Go to sleep there. It's like a circle.
This has always been a subject close to Ramon's heart, even before his own time on the streets and before the death of his brother.
I remember one time with my buddy, we was in New York, we was running like hell, and we see that vagabond sleeping on the water. And I said, Charlie, let's go take him home. We took him home. We bought him a bottle of wine. It was unbelievable. He was speaking 7 languages. He was a millionaire in his life before on Wall Street. His life was unbelievable.
What had happened to him? Did he tell you?
Yes, he told all his story. Yeah. He lost his wife. He got some problems in business and so. He just give it up and simple.
And you decided to take him
We take him home.
Did he stay with you that night? Or
that night, yes, yeah. That night, yes, even we do give him a few bucks in the morning, breakfast and so on. That's what people, we should give more to people who see lie down in the streets, you know? Some respect and some love. I understand when things happen, they go overboard, fights, alcohol. But when we provocate people like that, I don't accept that. To me, that's an abuse.
What can you do about the homelessness? I mean, do you give money? Do you stop and talk?
I think it's very important to talk to them. Don't be scared. If they smell a little bit, put yourself a few feet away if you want. But talk to them.
Is that what people who are living on the streets want? Presumably it is.
They do. Definitely a big percentage of them, they do. And some of them, they go in the worst condition because they start like that, and each time some people, they treat them even worse. So that doesn't help them. That put them going down and down. And some of them, they lost their mind. And we are participants of that. We don't realize. And it's not a big thing. Everybody can put a little bit. We are the solution.
That's Ramon Holgado Ordaz, one of the guides with Hidden City Tours in Barcelona. These days, things are going pretty well for Ramon. He loves his job, he's got his own place to live, he's even getting along well with his ex-wife and son, who's now 27. Not long ago, his son Raymond Anthony decided to take a break from work so he could volunteer at a soup kitchen in his home city of New York, where he served hot meals to homeless people. Barcelona, The View from the Streets was produced by Steve Urquhart, an award-winning radio producer based, last time I heard, in Glasgow, Scotland. Steve's work has been heard on Unfictional a few times. You can hear all of them at our website, and that's where you can also see some great photos of Ramon leading one of the Hidden City tours that you heard in the program. kcrw.com/unfictional. I'm Bob Carlson, producer of Unfictional. The editor is Nick White. The associate producer is Carla Green. I invite you to podcast the show on iTunes. And if you do like the show, why don't you leave a nice review there on iTunes? It really helps more people find the show. You can follow us on Twitter @Unfictional or like us on Facebook. But most importantly, I hope you'll join me next time for Unfictional on KCRW.